ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Now that text 15 has appeared on the board, we will chant text 15.
Tam nadva abhyarcha vidhivat padayo shirasa sprishan vivitsu idam aprakshit mahabhagavata Asara Tang Nadva Vyacharya Vidivat
Tang Nadva Vyacharya Vidivat
Pariyo Shirasa Sprasham Vivitsuridama Prakshin Mahabhagavato Sara
Mahabhagavato Sara
Tang Him, the saintly person. Nadva, after offering obeisances unto Abhyarcha and worshipping Vidivat in terms of the rules and regulations of etiquette Pariyo, the lotus feet of the saintly person Shirasa, with the head Prishan, touching, viditsu, desiring to know about him, the saintly person, idam, the following words, aprakshit, inquired, mahabhagavata, the very advanced devotee of the Lord, asara, although born in an asura family. Translation. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, the advanced devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, duly worshipped and offered obeisances to the saintly person who had adopted a python's means of livelihood. After thus worshipping the saintly person and touching his own head to the saint's lotus feet, Prahlad Maharaj, in order to understand him, inquired very submissively as follows. Vibharshikayam pivanam sojyamo bhagavan yata vittam chevodyamaptavtam boga boga vita vitam miha boginam kaludeho yam piva bhavati nanyata. Translation. Seeing the saintly person to be quite fat, Prahlad Maharaj said, My dear sir, you undergo no endeavor to earn your livelihood, but you have a stout body. Exactly like that of a materialistic enjoyer, I know that if one is very rich and has nothing to do, he becomes extremely fat by eating and sleeping and performing no work. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not like his disciples to become very fat in the course of time. He would become very anxious upon seeing his fat disciples becoming bogies or enjoyers of the senses. This attitude is herewith confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj, who was surprised to see a saintly person adopting ajaravritti and becoming very fat. In the material world also, we generally see that when a man who is poor and skinny gradually endeavors to earn money through business or some other means, and he then gets the money, he enjoys the senses to his satisfaction. By enjoying the senses, one becomes fat. And therefore, in spiritual advancement, becoming fat is not at all satisfactory. Hare Krishna. Vandeham. Shri Guru
Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacya Deshatarine. So, in our Prasadam prayer, we say, now let us take this Prasadam to our full satisfaction. Someone may say, what's the difficulty if I get fat? I'm just taking it my full satisfaction. Well, you have to take these teachings in toto. Not that this instruction I like very much, take to the full satisfaction. And this instruction, not to get fat, I don't like that instruction very much. So I will take this instruction and I will avoid that instruction. What is this called? Ardha Kukuti Nyaya. Half hen logic. The farmer had this very plump hen that laid very big, big eggs. But this hen had one proclivity. He liked to eat a lot. So the farmer thought, well, this end of the hen that lays these big eggs, oh, very, very nice. Very, very nice. But this end of the hen that eats so much chicken feed, oh, this is not very nice. So I have a very good idea. I will cut off the head of the hen. I won't have to feed it anymore. So he did that and he was waiting for the eggs to come and no more eggs came. He couldn't figure out what was going on, why the hen wasn't laying eggs. He killed the hen. He couldn't figure out why it wasn't laying eggs. You see? This is called half-hen logic, you see. If you want to become Krishna conscious, you've got to take the full hen, not half the hen. You see? So the point is we have to learn how to be completely, totally satisfied taking sufficient prasadam but we don't get fat. So how do you do that? Well, you have to relish prasadam as the mercy of Krishna, you see. Not just shovel it in for sense gratification. It's very, very important how we control our tongues. What do we pray? Of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable. It's very difficult to conquer over the tongue in this world. So what does this mean? This means if you can conquer your tongue, you can conquer all your other senses, you see. And one who conquers all of his senses, he's called Goswami, you see. So we are all meant to become Goswamis. Whether you're a brahmachari, a householder, a vanaprastha, a sannyasi, we are all meant to be Goswamis, controllers of the senses, masters of the senses. Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam. By always engaging our senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha. So someone may say, but I enjoy gratifying my senses. I mean, you people are trying to restrict me from what I enjoy. This is not a very good movement. I want to enjoy life. Well, the problem is they have a false conception of the self, you see. Instead of actually satisfying the real self, they're trying to satisfy a false self. Therefore, no matter how much they gratify their senses, they are never, never satisfied. Dushparena nalena cha. These senses burn like fire, and they are never, ever satisfied. So, instead of trying to satisfy the senses, the person who has good sense, he tries to satisfy the master of the senses, Krishna. Because when you satisfy Krishna, who is the root of all existence, you satisfy absolutely everything, including yourself. In this material world, everyone's trying to get satisfaction in this way, in that way, going here, going there, drinking this, smoking this, trying to get satisfied, having sex with this, having sex with that, trying to get satisfied, but they never, ever, ever get satisfied. Because they're simply dealing with the external covering of the self. If I stick my shirt sleeve in the doll to try to get some nourishment, you see, I may stain my kurta, but I won't get any nourishment. If I want nourishment, I got to take the doll and put it in my mouth, then I become nourished. So, in this similar way, the spirit soul within, he has to be satisfied. We have to engage in such a way that the spirit soul will then become satisfied. That is called Navavidha Bhakti. The ninefold path of bhakti, beginning with hearing and chanting. So this is the actual satisfaction of the self. Look at Parikshit Maharaj. For 7 days he didn't take anything. He didn't even pop a glob jamun. He just sat there for 7 days and heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami in a state of unlimited bliss. You understand? So we have to learn how to become like that, like Parikshit Maharaj, you see. How we can tune in to Krishna, turn on our eternal blissful natures. As we sometimes say, tune in, turn on, and bliss out. You see? We have to tune in to Krishna, turn on our actual spiritual identities, and then we can relish unlimited bliss. You see? There's actually so much nectar in this vibration. Krishna. Rupa Goswami was noting. There's so much nectar in these two syllables, Krishna, that having one mouth is not enough. I have to have millions of mouths so I can get a little bit more of that nectar out of Krishna.
And when those vibrations, Krishna, enter the holes of my inners, the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar. I need billions and trillions and quadrillions of ears so I can get at least a little bit more of that unlimited nectar which is oozing out, shooting out from Krishna. So we can learn how to qualitatively chant Krishna's name. We will be directly in contact with Krishna. If we can learn how to qualitatively chant Krishna's name, we'll be situated right there with Radha and Krishna. As good as seeing them face to face. We simply have to learn that art, how to chant without offense, you see. When the spiritual master gives initiation, he not only instructs at least 16 rounds daily, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. He also gives an explanation in his lecture of the 10 offenses. Prabhupada always did. So the perfection of my relationship with my spiritual master, you see, is when I master the, not only following the four principles and chanting 16 rounds at least every day, but the perfection of my relationship with my spiritual master and with Krishna is to become an offenseless chanter of the holy names of the Lord. Absolutely offenseless. Because when I come to that platform, I'm directly in contact with Krishna. You know what Prabhupada told me in one letter? He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Wow. Pretty powerful order from the spiritual master. So how does one do that? By becoming completely offenseless chanter of the holy names. So, say, okay, I'll chant it. But I don't like the devotees, but I like the holy name. No, it doesn't work because to blaspheme the devotees is an offense against the name. So I have to have good relationship with all the devotees also, you see. Not just the name. To heck with all the devotees, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just be a bhajanandi. Who cares about the devotees? Just be a bhajanandi and chant. No. Unless we have proper relationships with Vaishnavas, the Shuddha, the pure name, will never manifest on our lips. Every Vaishnava is a representative of Krishna. Every Vaishnava. Not just the guru, the sannyasis, the senior devotees. Every single Vaishnava is a representative of Krishna, and how we think about them, how we speak about them, how we speak to them, how we deal with them, has an impact on our Krishna consciousness, or lack thereof. So we have to be in that mood. Saru sangha, saru sangha, sarva shaste kai, sarva shaste. In this way, saru sangha, sarva siddhi way. By the association of Vaishnavas, you see, one can achieve all perfection. So our chanting is very much dependent, the quality of our chanting is absolutely dependent on the quality of our relationship with devotees. So we must always strive to be absolutely offenseless in all of our dealings with Vaishnavas. And we make offense, we should be very, very humble and contrite. Very, very apologetic, you see. We have a problem in our movement. Devotees are offensive and they never apologize, you see. Never apologize, you see. They never take a humble mood, regret, you see. It's a problem we have in our ISKCON, you see. We have to be always very humble mood. That humility
the price we pay to enter into the association of Krishna and all the great, great acharyas. They are fully present. They're willing to bless us with their divine association. We simply have to develop that mood of humility. That's it. Prabhupada showed us that humility. Just like in his prayer, Adora Duri, all the happy day. How did he pray to his spiritual master? He said, "Save me, a fallen, your divine grace." So that is the mood. Prabhupada showed us we have to always be in that mood that I am a fallen soul and I'm begging Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna that I can be saved. That humble mood makes one very dear to the spiritual master, to the Vaishnavas, to Lord Chaitanya, and to Lord Krishna. So let us do that. Let us cultivate that humble mood very sincerely, with great intensity, and let us maintain that mood all times, all places, and all circumstances. That mood will liberate us, you see, from all the nonsense, static we have floating around our brains right now, you see. Instead of all this static, we should simply be ecstatic, you see. But we're not fully ecstatic because we have so much static. Our relationships are not perfect with Vaishnavas, with Guru, and with the holy names. They're not perfect. That's why we're having difficulties, individually and collectively. So we'll endeavor very, very sincerely to purify our consciousness, to perfect our relationships with all Vaishnavas. Then we will feel an amazing awakening within the heart. Amazing, amazing awakening within the heart. And this movement will spread like wildfire. You know what Prabhupada ordered us? He said, deliver the world. Wow. It's a pretty big order. Your duty is to deliver the world. Well, that's not, think, well, that's not my duty as the GBC or the sannyasis or the gurus. No, it's an order for all of us. Our family business is to deliver the world. So that means each one of us is responsible to deliver the world. Well, how we can do that? Well, we deliver ourselves. The point is, to whatever extent we've delivered ourselves, to that point, to that extent, we'll be potent for delivering the world. You see? There's that very nice prayer by there in the Bhagavatam. Bahir Nasinga Hridaye Nasinga. Nasinga within, Nasinga without. Prabhupada explains what that actually means. He expanded it out. He said, may Lord Nasingadev dwell within my heart, killing all my bad propensities, so that my mind may become completely clean and I can bring peace to the entire world. You know why we're praying every day? You know you're praying every day like that? That you can be a pure devotee, you can save the world? Just, we're praying that every day. Bahir Nasinga, Hridaye Nasinga. Nasinga within, Nasinga without. We're praying being the pure devotees and praying being the liberal of the world. Every morning in the Nasinga prayers, we're praying to be pure devotees and praying that we can deliver the world. So it shouldn't just be on the lips, that mood of purifying our hearts and delivering the world. That should not be simply on the lips. We have to learn how to manifest that in our hearts and always keep it burning in our hearts at every minute. From the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we take rest at night, that should always be burning, burning, burning in our hearts. You see? I must get out of this nonsense, this lust, this anger, this greed, this madness, this illusion, this envy, this laziness, this craziness. I gotta get it out. I just gotta get it out of here.
It's been torturing me for millions and billions of lifetimes. I have to get rid of it now, completely rid of it. You see? So I can really carry out Lord Chaitanya's order, you see, to give Krishna consciousness to the suffering people of the world. You see? As Prabhupada said, physician, heal thyself. So our first business is we have to become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada one time said, the most important thing is save the world. But even more important is save yourself. You see? So both things we have to focus on, but the most important thing is saving ourselves. You see? Otherwise you can't do anything for the world. If you yourself are rascal number one, you can't do anything for the world. You see? So we have to very seriously cultivate pure devotional service. Prabhupada wants all of us to become pure devotees of Krishna. You see? We have to please Prabhupada. To please Him. You see? We have to follow these rules and regulations strictly. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. You see? Some say, well, there's the strict version of the regulated principles and there's the lenient version, some people say. Now, we hear argument nowadays floating around ISKCON. It's like Prabhupada also, sometimes say, no sex out of marriage. So I think, well, I'll take the lenient version instead of the strict version. Sex is only for procreation. We hear that argument. The strict version is no sex only once a month after chanting 50 rounds. That's the strict version. The lenient version is no sex outside of marriage. They say that's actually another version you can follow. But that argument is fallacious. Just like we say, no meat, fish, or eggs. Sometimes Papa just says, no meat eating. So according to the lenient version, you can have fish and eggs too, right? If you take the lenient version, Prabhupada just says no meat eating, so that means I can have fish and eggs. It's the lenient version of the diet, you see. So this idea I can have recreational sex with my wife is like saying I can have fish and eggs. It's nonsense. Sex is for procreation, not for recreation. So if we start watering down the regulated principles, our movement is finished. I tell you right now, if we water down these regulated principles, our movement is finished. We have to keep it as Prabhupada gave it to us. We have to understand what Prabhupada said. We have to follow what he said. And if you do so, you'll get so much mercy. You'll take so much pleasure. You see? Actually, we don't need sex life. If you actually enter into chanting Hare Krishna with purity, with intensity, there's more pleasure in one utterance of Krishna than having sex with 10 million virgins. You understand? More pleasure. Krishna. You see, it's better than having sex with 10 million delectable virgin girls. Krishna. That's how much, that's just an approximation, of course. It's much better than that. You see? So in this way, we have to learn how to give up sense gratification by actually relishing the taste of Krishna's name. By being in that mood of total, complete surrender, that my dear Krishna, now I belong to you. I'm simply the puppet, as Prabhupada presented himself, as the puppet of Krishna. Now you make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. So that should be our mood. My dear Krishna, now I fully, and Guru Maharaj and Krishna, I fully belong to you. Now let my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances for all of eternity, be completely, totally satisfying to you. If we take that mood, we'll be tasting the sweetest bliss at every minute. You see? So we have to learn how to enter that mood that Prabhupada showed us. Now I am your puppet. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like.
You say, well, how can I cultivate it? You know, I've got a pretty stubborn tendency to enjoy my senses and puffed up. I desire so much prestige. You know, how can I possibly enter into that pure state of consciousness? It seems impossible for a puffed up rascal like me to develop that kind of pure consciousness. But you know what? You just got to beg for it. All you have to do is beg Krishna for it. And there's a special prayer in which we can beg for that pure state of consciousness. I think you all know that prayer, don't you? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're begging Krishna. We're begging our mother Radharani. And Krishna, please, my dear Lord, I have been suffering here in the material existence, ignoring your service for millions and billions of lifetimes. Now I'm begging you, please let me come back. Please, please, my Lord, please take me back, Krishna. I'm suffering like anything, turning my back on you. Please, my dear Lord, please let me come back and serve you with pure love now for all of eternity, you see. Simply the intensity of our prayers. We have to learn how to capture Krishna by our love. You see. Just as Mother Jasoda captured Krishna. Krishna cannot be bound by anyone, but yet she bound him with ropes, the rope of her love. So if we have that intense desire of totally giving ourselves to Krishna, we can capture Krishna. It's like it is sometimes said, I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. To the extent that actually we feel ourselves the property of Krishna, to that extent Krishna becomes our property. Krishna is willing to reciprocate. He's waiting to reciprocate. He's been traveling in our hearts with us for millions and billions of lifetimes, simply waiting for that moment when this soul will come back. You see, each one of us is one of Krishna's eternal associates in the spiritual world. We didn't come out of Brahman. We didn't come out of nothing, like Dr. Stephen Hawking's claims. Everything came out of nothing. Krishna is eternally emanating each and every one of us in order to have a particular type of loving relationship that only we can give him. Each one of us has a unique personality that gives Krishna a certain type of loving relationship within the five varieties. So Krishna is missing us like anything, and he's traveling with us, just waiting and trying to facilitate us that we can come back to him. So as soon as we take that serious desire in our hearts, now, my dear Lord, I'm coming back to you. I'm kicking out all this nonsense from my heart. Now all I want is pure love for you and nothing else for all of eternity. Please help me, Krishna, to achieve this. Krishna will do everything possible to help us. He'll give us a guru. He'll give us Vaishnava association. He'll give every facility to us. We simply have to take that determination that now I must become an absolute pure devotee of Krishna with no other desire, you see. So, there's a few minutes left, and maybe there's some questions. Can try to answer them.
Questions?
No questions. So, I should ask you some questions then. Here we go.
You mentioned that we often heard, you know, I heard your lecture many times, and you often mentioned this point that sex is not for recreation, it's for procreation.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a very controversial topic in discussing this.
I don't see any controversy in it. It's very clear to me. I don't see any controversy at all. It's very clear what Prabhupada taught us. Yeah, go ahead.
Only meant for, if at all, a husband and wife come together and they procreate one child or for making make her Krishna conscious. That is the goal of this Grahastha life. But I have this quote from Prabhupada. It's given to Bhavananda Maharaj, now is Prabhu. And in this quote, Prabhupada clearly mentioned that sex within marriage life is not a sin. But too much sex is not good for your future advancement. But he clearly mentioned in this quote that sex within sex life, this marriage life is not a sin. And some people, either husband or wife, any of them, they don't get it right. And they too much stick to their one point that they, too much emphasize they put on one aspect. And that's why relationships
If they're saying, well, I can have as much sex as I want because we're married, then at the time of death, they're going to be thinking about sex. The point is, unless you give up sex desire, you're not qualified to go back to Krishna. If you say, well, sex within marriage is no sin, that means I can have sex as much as I want. One guy would say, well, as long, every day would be too much, but, you know, you wouldn't have it every day, but, you know. But the thing is, if you're, that means you're still addicted to sex pleasure and you're not qualified to go back to Krishna. To go back to Godhead, you have to be free from sex desire. That's a fact. And so if you take that as a license, well, you're buying yourself another body. That's all. Someone who's having sex life or recreation like that, they're definitely not going to go back to Godhead. Because you... They're not going to go back to Godhead, that's all. And the spiritual master will also have to take birth again to save them. So, you know, you may use that as a license. Well, you go ahead, have fun. But you're not going to go back to Godhead, that's all. Sex life is meant to be given up. Next.
That's
the rule. Sex is only for once in a month, for 50 rounds of japa.
This quote clearly mentions it's not sin to if a husband go for it.
Half-hand logic. You're taking this instruction is very nice. The problem this instruction I like very much. This one I don't like. I'll ignore the other instruction and just take this one. It's half-hand logic. This instruction I like very much. Sex within marriage is no sin. I can have sex every, you know, at least two or three times a week. You know, it's because it's not a sin. But Prabhupada's actual instruction is sex is meant for once in a month after chanting 50 rounds of japa. Buzz. That one I'll ignore. This one I like. It's half-in logic, Prabhu. It's half-in logic. Ardha kukruti nyaya. Good luck. Anybody wants to follow it, I can say good luck. You're not going to go back to Godhead as long as you're having recreational sex. You're not going to go back to Godhead because you're more attracted to sex than you are to Krishna. That's a fact. You're not going to go back to Godhead. Don't dream. You can have sex and go back to Godhead. Back to Godhead means give up sex. Prabhupada ordered me. He's to become completely free from sex desire. And he challenged me. He said, brother, you can be like that. He challenged me. So it's a very important thing to give up sex desire. It's a very important thing. You can't maintain sex desire and become a pure devotee of Krishna. You can't maintain sex desire and go back to God. It's impossible. Impossible. If you don't believe it, just go ahead. Enjoy sex and see where you go at the time of death. If you don't believe me, then you go, oh, Sankarshanva was right. I took birth again. If you want to go back to Godhead, you have to give up sex. Bus. Today or tomorrow, or next week, you've got to give it up. Krishna consciousness is a much higher pleasure than sex. As long as you're taking sex pleasure for your enjoyment, you're not going to get a taste for the name. That's a fact. You will not get you will not taste Shuddha Nam while you're having sex pleasure. You can have it once in a month after 50 rounds of japa for procreation, bus. If you want to be a proper follower of Prabhupada.
On practical level, I see there are many relationships are breaking in this form, within this form. There are so much cases of divorce is happening because of ill cooperation between husband and wife. I call this later topic, no? Because husband and wife not willing to cooperate, not understand that because their demand is there. Each of them trying to become too much of a strict following the strict version of this Prabhupada rule, which this code clearly clarifies that it's not the same. But you know, either husband or wife become too much strict to one, you know, following these rules, and that's the relationship of breaking apart in our Islam. There are many press cases of divorce happening in Islam.
It's hard for me to hear. I'm a little hard of hearing. Can you summarize what you said again? Or can someone... What was his point?
He's saying many relationships are breaking because of one person becoming too strict and another one...
They're not being properly trained. They're not being properly trained. That's the difficulty. They're not getting the proper training. Understand how to give this up. I understand relationships are maybe breaking them, but that means they're not being properly trained. The proper training is given, they can give it up. I mean, I was very lusty. I was a hippie. I was a very lusty person. The Prabhupada gave me very heavy training, and I took it, and it worked. You see? I was very... Hippies, we were called free love. Hippie movement was very loose, complete sexual freedom. You have sex with anybody you wanted, whenever you wanted, how much you wanted. That was our philosophy. And it wasn't easy for me. But I got some personal training from Prabhupada, and it works. Prabhupada's training, if the training is properly given, the strong, proper training is given, it takes you beyond the sexual platform. That's a fact. So any couples who are having trouble over this issue, they can write to Sankarshan Das, SDA, at backtohome.com, and I will teach them how to give up sex. SDA at backtohome.com. Sankarshan Das Adhikari, SDA at backtohome.com. Any couples having difficulty in this issue, I'll personally train them how to give it up. Because Krishna consciousness is better than sex. It is. It is better. It is better than sex. Otherwise, what am I doing here? It's much better than sex. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anything else? Vishal Prabhu, my dear God, senior godbrother who joined in San Francisco in 68. Jai, give him the microphone. Will the court reach that far? Adi Ras. The pure, that's called pure sex psychology.
Well, my question is to you that you were mentioning at the beginning of your class that the divine grace Shiva Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was, again, he didn't like his disciples being fat.
Right.
Okay, that's true. Right. I understand his migration of Prabhupada said that on feast days you can eat up to here or eat until you waddle like a duck.
So I wanted to know your comments.
Yeah. Yeah, we encourage everyone and eat till you're wild like a dog, yeah. We encourage devotees to relish prasadam, their full satisfaction. We don't want to be standing over you. I remember, in Boston there was a whole thing, and Prabhupada talked about it. There was a whole discussion about it with Prabhupada and the disciples in Boston. Devotees were in anxiety. They heard about, restricting their tongue in the early days of ISKCON. They were really in anxiety about that. So Prabhupada's answer. He said, if the disciple wants more prasadam, it's my duty as a spiritual master to personally give them more prasadam. So there's the answer. If you want more, Prabhupada's going to make sure you get more. That's all. Jai. So that's it. We thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.